Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ron Timmermans, an independent master flight and ground instructor from Orlando, Florida. He's an airline transport pilot with over 7,000 hours of flight time, most of which is in Beechcraft Bonanzas and Barrens.
Hi, and welcome back to the Florida Aviation Network broadcast from Sun and Fun. Yes, it is the 48th annual Sun and Fun Aviation Expo. We're broadcasting live and in the clear from Lakeland, Florida, where Sun and Fun is going on just outside this studio. And if you're already here, that's great. You're probably watching this on an archived video, but if you're watching it on live stream today, that means you're not here. And I guess I just have to ask, why not? Maybe it's because you're coming tomorrow or the next day, or maybe you're not able to come at all this year, in which case you should already be making plans to come back in 2023. We'll look forward to seeing you again. So the Florida Aviation Network is an organization that's dedicated to safety, and we do broadcasts from Sun and Fun like this every year, and we cover events, other events, that one in Wisconsin as well in July, and various other ones throughout the United States throughout the year. But this is our biggest show, where we do a number of live interviews, live streamed interviews, and I'm one of the hosts. I'm Ron Timmermans from Orlando, and I am my fortunate to be one of the hosts for the Florida Aviation Network. Our guests today are two very unique individuals, but two very close individuals as well, and they are Ms. Karen Knoll on my left and Mr. Bob Brasky on my far left here. So, folks, thanks for coming back again. You're veterans of this these interviews with Florida Aviation Network, and I'm also going to mention that Bob is on the board of directors for the Florida Aviation Network and the National Aviation Safety Foundation. So you're one of our leaders, and thank you, Bob, for your service to our country and to our organization. It's been great. And you're also a veteran of the Air Force, as I recall, right?
Yes, that's correct, Ron.
Okay, yep. Good. So a very broad aviation career, and Karen, yours is as well. And along with Bob, you are also a 777 captain for United and headquartered in Newark, or home-based in Newark, is it?
Well, he's the 777 captain. I'm a 777 first officer.
Okay, NFO.
Yep.
Nice promotion, Ron. Thank you.
I was like, wow.
Well, you heard it here first. She is soon to be a captain, maybe.
Okay, from your mouth to their ears.
Yeah.
Based in Newark as well. Yep.
Okay, good. And how long have you been flying, Karen?
I've been flying about 30 years.
Wow, that's a long time. Yeah. And quite a few hours, I imagine?
There are, yep. I spent a lot of time at the regionals. So I started out... became a flight attendant out of college, and then on my very first day on the plane, 747, I looked around, and I'm like, oh, this is what I want to do. And I started clawing my way back then, and it took me a few years to do it, but I got my private in Honolulu, and did all my other training in Florida. And then I became a regional pilot for a long time, because the industry was tricky for a little bit. And I was a captain for, and also I had kids. And there's a lot of women who have children stay at the regionals because we're super senior and we can find the time off to do locker signs and cupcakes.
Yeah.
So, yep. And then 5 years ago, six years ago, I went to United.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. And so how many hours do you have accumulated now?
I've got over 10,000 PIC turbine from being a captain for so long, but probably maybe 15,000.
Wow. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. And over 30 years, that's 200 hours a year, isn't it?
That's a lot of regional jet time. Yeah. There's a lot of up and down, a lot of flying.
Yeah. Sure. And you juggled being a mom and a wife and a career, both. But I think that's interesting. So you started in the back of the plane and decided to go to the front office of the airplane.
I did.
And you made it, so that's good.
Yep.
That's good. Well, Bob, your career has spanned probably 30 years or so as well, and maybe more. Tell us about you. After college, went in the Air Force right away?
Well, probably right out of high school when I got kicked out of high school.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, okay. So it's probably 40-plus years. But, yeah, so the aviation career started when kind of like some generations, you know, you go to high school but not really indeterminate where you're going to go. So about the second year of high school, I had a discussion with my parents, decided to drop out. But at that point in time, after discovering the job opportunities for out of high school, not completing, was not so good, I joined the Army National Guard, an aviation unit up there in Long Island, helicopter unit. And that set the path for the aviation turnaround there, because as I went to school to learn how to fix helicopters, I also learned how to fly airplanes at Fort Rucker. And then that projected me right into the path of, okay, now I can fix, but I love to fly. And then with the GI Bill, I came down to Daytona Beach to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, which all of a sudden spiked me even more so and say, I love this, and continue with a degree at Riddle. And through ROTC, joined the Air Force full-time. And I was a T-38 instructor pilot at Columbus Air Force Base for 4, 5, 6 years. I kept extending because I loved instructing in the T-38s. And then I left for Germany after that to fly F-16s. I was there for the Gulf War as a brand new lieutenant at Ramstein Air Force Base. So that was quite a nice experience. After the Gulf War, I came back out, went back into the Guard, and joined Patrick Air Force Base eventually here in Titusville as an HC-130 Special Operations rescue guy.
Oh, back to helicopters.
Back to the C-130s.
Oh, C-130s.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
They had the helicopters and things, and I wanted to do the helicopters, but I stuck in the C-130 world, which I really enjoyed. I eventually got more of my helicopter ratings anyway in the civilian world. But, and that projected even more so into now the airline track. And then eventually in 92, I got hired by United Airlines and been there 30-plus years. Just got my 30-year pin, actually, the other day.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, 30 years at United Airlines. And trajectory has been great. You know, as we go through 30 years of look back, we've had a lot of things go on, you know, ups and downs, recessions and wars. I went to war in the Enduring Freedom in the 130. First role was F-16's combat. Second role in Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom was the 130. But it was just a great journey. And today, here we are. You know, wide body, 777, New York, and just enjoy what we do. Got to fly together once to, you know, San Paulo, Brazil.
Yes.
Good job, by the way.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it was
nice.
Good.
So, you know, left me here today, being with you today and everybody out there, is just a continuation of the love that's being expressed here at Center Fun in such a great manner.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's inspiring.
There's such a bond between pilots and aviation enthusiasts, and you get to see that in a great measure here at Sun and Fun, because
yes,
everyone's here to have a good time, and they're having a good time, and so you see almost nothing but smiles on people's faces here, as it should be, and we could use a lot more of that in the world today, I think, and more smiles than what we often see. So interesting career path for each of you. This is good. And so what brought you together, working for United?
Of course, the Christmas party.
The Christmas party.
The Newark, you know, Chief Pilots Christmas party up there. And I was actually, she was already there, invited in her own way into the party. And I was making a big rush from Atlanta on a 737, windy, bad weather. And I made it in there. And as I sat down, I noticed her running across the road, this high-energy pilot, spreading some good Santa Claus goodwill. And so I just boldly went up to her and says, hey, what's your name? And that's how we met at our Christmas party. And come to find out, we had some mutual aviation connections over time at different events where I knew people and she knew people. We knew of each other in third-party way. So it became a much more attached conversation from there on.
And it has developed to the point that in August of this year, just a few months from now, there's going to be a wedding in the castle in Scotland, I understand.
Yes. You know,
involving the two of you.
The Outlander style owl brings in the ring kind of thing.
Wonderful.
For the castle and kilt. And we both have heritages, Irish, the Mahoney McManus clans, and she's of a, you know, her clan, which was...
Leslie clan.
So we just, you know, we had that plan 2 years ago. COVID kind of backpedaled it, but we didn't give up on the dream. So now it seems to be coming back together. So we look forward to like a celebration post-pandemic to Scotland again.
Well, congratulations to both of you.
Thank you.
This is wonderful. I'm very happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Very happy.
Looking forward to it.
So for folks that are watching today that may be aspiring aviators, can we tell them that this is a pretty good time to be involved with aviation and not so good time to pull back or go for it full blast? What would you say, Bob, why don't you start?
You know, it's like in an aviation career over time, believe it or not, there's always these great times, good times, and there's a wait period, right? So right now we're in this amazing beyond good time there where everything has come together. Industry has consolidated, right? And so all the great airlines of the world, instead of having multiple fraction smaller lines, have consolidated to be very healthy, strong transportation companies. That now was able to project jobs and futures that will be long versus short. So that was one thing. And then secondary is we have the retirement waves of a lot of pilots over the years that are expressing. And then there's the expansion of the airlines. The airlines are growing and going with additions of airplanes and all that. So kind of a triple witching effect of consolidation of airlines, very strong transportation companies, and the need for pilots has created this amazing demand in such a way, if one is anybody out here in Sun and Fun today, we have GoJet, Republic, Silver Airways, all these airlines, you know, in different programs are out there saying, we want you now. Here's the signing bonus now. Direct hire captain. We've had a little bit of that in the past, but this is like way amazing. The inspirational develop of those programs. So I got it. United, we have an amazing program. Each airline has its own program. We have Aviate. You see Aviate represented out there through some of our partner airlines, which are, you get hired now, you do a track, and you kind of, depending what track you are, have a future with the airlines. United has one, Delta, American, we all have our different programs. We at United are proud of our program, and the Aviate program and our CEO and everybody behind it has projected that in such an amazing manner, where it is so nice to see the kids lining up out there who never even thought about it, just going, wow, I can believe in this now.
How at what age, Karen, can a young person get involved with a commitment, if you will, towards an airline career?
So they hire at 23, but you're depending on which track you do. If you go to the aviation high school, aviation college, you got a lot of your ratings out of the way, you're building hours, and boom, right at 23, you're ready to start. Like some of the programs they have with the major airlines, specifically, I could speak to United, the Aviate program, because I'm part of it.
Oh.
And, they're trying to demystify aviation. For so long, there wasn't a lot of women pilots, and there weren't a lot of non-white pilots. And so they're, like, trying to be more inclusive, like, demystifying and saying, here you go, you can do this. We're showing you some role models, and we'll show you how you can afford to do it. Here's scholarships. If you don't get a scholarship, here's some low APR loans and stuff like that, low-cost loans, and then this is what it's going to take to get there. And they're showing them the path, because so many people in general aviation go, okay, what rating do I get next? How much money should I pay on? They're showing you the way, and they're helping you hold your hand. And then in your first year at a major airline, you're paying off that debt, and they're showing you it's possible.
Wow, that has to be very exciting for young people as well. So if a person doesn't get involved with a program like Aviate, one that's real structured like that, what would they need for pilot time and age, and do they need a degree?
So you don't need a degree to go to a regional carrier. And so you can, but if you want to go to a major carrier, most of those require still a bachelor's degree, but it shouldn't deter you because, first of all, you get your hours, get your licenses. And some people, we have friends that have gotten all their CFI ratings by the time they're 18. What? And so they're just building their hours, and when they get enough hours, they can get hired by a regional carrier, which would be 1,500 hours. But they will help. They will pay for your last rating, the ATP. They're going to pay for all of that, and then they're going to give you a signing bonus, and they're going to make you. It's not like the olden days where we had to, you know, share a lot of rooms with each other and stuff like that. And the first year pay was just horrible. Now it's a comfortable living, and so they're attracting more people than they used to. So $1,500 hours. And
then reasonably they could expect to become an FO on a regional airline? Is that the path normally?
Yep, FO, and then when they go, they get enough hours, they'll go on to a captain position. Now, the major airlines, They only require 1,500 hours, but they're probably looking for, they want you to spend a year there or at least, and then throw your stuff in.
Good experience flying for a regional, I'm sure, before you move to the larger jets and the different routings and the larger company.
Yeah. It is really great experience. The military has amazing pilots that come out of there, but we're used to flying maybe up to six legs a day, up and down all the major airports, all the major or the minor airports, and we can get them on fast and get them out. And, you know, you learn, and you have a lot of opportunities to learn on the job, you know, minor emergencies or whatever happens in the airline industry and air traffic control and stuff like that. Yeah.
Did you fly in the military at all, Karen?
I did not.
You did not?
No. Nope.
And Bob, you did, and so at least in the F-16s, the passenger load is not a big challenge for you. It's just a one-person flight, right?
More than one's too many in a fighter pilot. Even though we had two-seaters, you know, we just was doing a check ride or something like that, but then you say, see ya. Yes.
You like the one-person...
Well, you know, one person is really fantastic. You're in charge of a beautiful machine. You're one with it, with the environment, and... You know, a lot of times I'd be solo out there just doing some training runs, but you're also one with many when you're in formation. You know, that's even more powerful. You know, you'd be there with maybe a six or seven ship, and you see Ron over there, I see Bob, I see Obi, and all these different folks out there.
You would see
ships.
Ron way off to the
Ron would be rocking the wing to bring you back in. You know, we're going in. But that's all about the fighter pilot world. You know, it's a fun and fantastic but inclusive, you know.
And then you said you also flew C-130s.
Yep, the HC-130s.
So that's a different kind of flying, even though it's military flying, but that's certainly different, carrying cargo, carrying people.
Yeah, that logistics. Role was even more special because we were such rescue. Our motto was that others may live, a very strong motto in the search and rescue community, SAR. And our job was to basically rescue any of the pilots who would go down in the war or some other missions like that. So we flew night low level and with NVGs on, below 500 feet could be at times in bad weather, refueling helicopters that would go out there and go pick up and that. So it was a very high, stressful, but very precise environment. You know, the movie The Perfect Storm, if you saw that movie, that was also based on one of the rescues off the coast of with a search and rescue unit. So, yeah, it's a different world, but it's a search and rescue world. It's a satisfying world that you're that others may live as your job.
Yeah, well, that's good. So you were in both Gulf Wars, you said.
Yeah, the Gulf War One with Baghdad. That was me in the F-16, and then with 9/11, post 9/11. I mean, I was activated, and I actually coming back on 9/11. I was flying back from Iraq, and because we were doing patrols, and I was a United jet. And just as I was coming inbound, we got the call that 9/11 happened. We had to divert to the Canada crowd, and I had to hop into a rental car and drive all the way back from Canada to get activated for a year and say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
And then we went in that role in the search and rescue role as a 130 pilot at that time.
Okay. And you were back in theater then with the C-130?
Yep, back in theater, you know, stationed over there on the border of Iraq and Kuwait. And those areas and stuff like that. So we were basically patrolling and providing combat rescue operations, you know, for anybody who goes down.
Yeah. Karen, you've got two children, you said, in college?
I do, two
and
boys.
And they're not yet involved in aviation, but will be someday.
Soon to be.
Oh, if we have anything to say about it. Their dad is also an airline pilot. And I just want to say, if there's women listening, that can you juggle being an airline pilot and having children? And it seems like it'd be a tricky juggle, and it is a little bit, but it can be done. Both my boys are Eagle Scouts, full ride scholarship in colleges, so they're doing just fine, probably better that I wasn't there all the time. I'm a little type A. So they're doing really well, and hopefully they discover how amazing. They're trying to do their own path. And I think your two kids went on their own for a while, away from aviation, and then they came back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your daughter, Bob, is very much involved in aviation and in the military, as I recall. So tell us a little bit about Miss Savannah.
Yeah. You know, I have a son, Chris, and Savannah. My son got his private pilot license. You know, early on, I did the relentless dad thing. Let's be pilots, right? So my son got his private. My daughter did not. And then he went on to say, I don't want to be a pilot, but I mean, I want to be a pilot, but I want to be a doctor. So he was in med school. Success on the way, very proud of him. My daughter said, hell no, you know, for quite a while. And then she, I was just, let's do another flying lesson. Let's take another ride. You know, it's just the exposure of it. And then it hit. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't stop her. So then I encouraged her to join the National Guard, Air Force National Guard, out of high school, which is a great program for anybody out there, especially children who think, how can I pay for certain things?
Yeah.
The National Guard of a high school is a great job, part-time, with the GI Bill and flight training benefits. You get a free ride at college mostly and a good chunk of your flight training paid for. So she did that. And she stayed 10 years in the Guard as a maintenance person, got her degrees, and then started applying. Once you have a degree, you could be an officer. And then she got hired by the Montgomery National Guard as one of their new F-35 pilots. They're transitioning from F-16s. She got a ride in F-16 too, so her and dad can share the moment of we flew F-16s together. But now she's going to go to the F-35, and she's in pilot training right now as we speak.
So she's really kind of one-upping you, Bob's.
I was worried about that.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
but there's nothing more fulfilling for a parent than to see their child do even better.
Yeah,
so
she sent me
very proud.
She sent me a picture. I have, you know, the picture of me when I was in my F-16 in Ramstein, and then she sent the picture, like a little frame picture of her and her at the F-16 as like a dad-daughter shot, which is very cool. But yeah, now she's going to go into other worlds, which is cool. It's the ability to what this generation, everybody considering aviation in the diversity of like in the military, it's amazing opportunities there also.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Karen, I just wanted to say how proud I am of you. As a woman in aviation, you have broken the barriers and you have inspired many young women, I'm sure, who may not have been certain about is there a career for them as an aviator, as a pilot, as a commercial airline pilot. And you certainly are proof that it is entirely possible. Hard work, and there's always juggling of schedules, whether you're a male or a female.
Right.
But if you want something bad enough, you can get it, and you can get there, and you certainly have done that. So that's wonderful.
That's the truth, and thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Baba, it's good to see you again. Thank you for your work on the board for the Florida Aviation Network and the National Aviation Safety Foundation. It's good to have you as one of our leaders and helping guide us in what we do here. And so it's wonderful to have both of you. Thank you for coming back. Congratulations on your upcoming marriage. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again next year here or somewhere else in the aviation community, because we really are a small fraternity sorority, aren't we?
Yes. And who's got the next landing? I still won a purse. It was
so
beautiful.
So there could be some marital arguments in the cockpit, I'm afraid, after this blissful wedding. So, all right. Well, thank you so much for watching. This has been Ron Timmermans with the Florida Aviation Network interviewing with Karen Nolan and Bob Raske, who are two are very great people that have been inspirational to many young people. And if you've heard nothing else, if you're a pilot thinking about getting a career in the aviation, this is the best time of your life.
Absolutely.
From the Sun and Fun campus at Lakeland, Florida, I'm Ron Timmermans of the Florida Aviation Network. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you at the next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.